Thank you very much, Pat, and it's a real pleasure to be here, and I guess the people that are here all have good hearts, so thanks for staying. I'll try and pick up a few minutes of the time, and I know there are a lot of questions in the panel before, had a lot of questions for you, and not a lot of answers, unfortunately. Probably one of the most common questions I'm getting the last few days in the hall is not about steroids and not about how you're doing and what about side effects. The most common question I'm getting now is, where's the bow tie? So I'm glad to say I have an answer for you this morning. The bow tie is back, and I will keep it. And that's the only answer I have. But I do have some things I'd like to share with you. And I changed the topic a little bit, the title of the talk, and not to what you need to do during an emergency, but how to prepare for an emergency. And it's a bit, we heard the analogy of seatbelt. We're all supposed to wear seatbelts. And we don't put the seatbelt after the car accident. We put a seatbelt on before we get into any sort of problems. So this is a bit like wearing a seatbelt. So preparing for an emergency because they're coming. There are really two key points to this presentation this morning, and that is, what information do I need to have? And Pat touched a bit about this, and I'll revisit it. And the other thing is what's the problem? And as I hope to share with you, a lot of the problems are common problems, like any child will have. And so these are the two things. So what do I need to know? And I'd just like to refer you to this tool that's available. It's called My Health Passport. And it's a customized wallet-sized card, and it is done by you. It's free. It's available online. And I have the website for that, which is sickkids.ca, My Health Passport. And it's a very useful document, and it's particularly useful if you carry it with you. And it has all sorts of information, and particularly it's easy to do. And there is a drop-down menu for the Duchenne community to help with the process. And the information you need to fill in the passport is the name of the condition, which is already done for you for the Duchenne community. It's the name of the medications that you use and the dose. And that's really very important, particularly for the community if that's using deflazacort, because you will sometimes go to a hospital and they are not familiar with deflazacort, and you need to be able to explain what it is and what the dose is. And you need to share with them any operations you've had, what the dates of those procedures have been, and the immunization history. And I think the other important things about immunization is to remind you that to get the annual flu vaccine and the pneumonia or the pneumococcal vaccine is also very, very helpful for keeping your boys healthy. And any special needs you would have, particularly equipment, and you have a lot of equipment, and much of the equipment may not be familiar to the people that are going to meet you in the hospital, so you need to have that equipment and explain to them. And a cough assist is something that's very important, and again, not familiar to many of the staff, so you have that educational process for that visit in preparation for that. I'll revisit that concept in a moment. And the names and phone numbers of contacts that you have that the emergency staff or the hospital staff can refer to. I also want to bring to your attention another card, which is actually driven by Pat Furlong and Parent Project. It's available outside. It's a little, again, a wallet-sized card. It's a little bit different than the one I shared with you, the passport. It's not as personalized, but it's equally helpful. And it covers a number of topics. And just to remind you, it only works if you carry it with you. And so we ask the boys to have it with them, and we ask parents to have it as well. And it covers a variety of topics. And we'd appreciate your feedback. If there's something on this card that you think should be there that's not there, Pat and I would certainly value your input. We try to revise it periodically. It covers topics like respiratory care, leg fractures, what about anesthesia, which is a common question and a common concern, what happens about vomiting and flu, and if the boys can't take their medicine for a day, and liver tests. So we'll visit each one of these topics briefly with you this morning. And the second issue is, how strong is my breathing? And that seems to be a very important thing for you to be familiar with and to help the hospital staff. And the breathing can be really good or pretty good, and that usually means that you've got a good cough. It's all about coughing. If you've got a good cough, you do well with colds that you're going to get. and you're sleeping well, and you're usually not on a BiPAP machine at night. You get over colds quickly, and if you're on daily steroids, your breathing can be really strong many years after you are not walking. In the literature, you oftentimes read that once you're into a wheelchair, after a year or two, then your breathing's going to start becoming weak, and that's not so in our experience and others with the daily use of steroids. And then there'll be a period of time when you're much older, in your 20s and 30s, where your breathing might not be as good. Your cough is not as strong. You sometimes have difficulty getting rid of a cold. You're on BiPAP to help you get a comfortable night's sleep. And sometimes you get tired if you have to cough a lot. So I'm going to talk about respiratory care, and I'm going to go very quickly because Jonathan Finder is following me and will explain a lot more in greater detail about respiratory care. But the message here in the title of Jonathan's talk is be careful about oxygen. And we really don't want the boys to have oxygen if it's going to be harmful to them, and Jonathan will explain that to you. But you have to be prepared if you're going to give oxygen that they might have to be ventilated as well. And a way to tell whether that's going to be an issue is measuring the amount of carbon dioxide. So I'll leave it at that, and something that you as parents and young men need to be very aware of, because you might have to direct people to be careful if they want to give you oxygen. So liver function tests, and I'll just touch on this briefly, and they're often done because you put out your arm when you go into emergency. Sometimes you put out two arms, and they take a lot of blood, and one thing they always do for no good reason, but they do it, is they do routine liver tests. And they're going to come back, two of them, the AST, and it's not important that you remember these, but the AST and ALT are going to be high. And that's normal in boys and adults with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And unlike people without the muscle problem, where these things come from the liver, in the boys, they come from the muscle. So it's not an issue. It does not mean there's a problem with the liver. And most people, doctors and people in the hospital, automatically say, well, you've got a liver problem. It may be because of the steroids, and we've got to deal with that. So you have to be able to turn that line of thinking off. So what are the problems that you're going to be dealing with, perhaps an emergency or maybe not an emergency, but what are the common problems? The common problems here, some of them are colds and just the ordinary crud, vomiting and diarrhea, which is very common, falls and fractures, dental issues, whether it's traumatic or whether you're having to have some teeth pulled, appendicitis and equipment failure. And we are using a lot of equipment, and I'm not going to deal with equipment failure, but that's something you have to be prepared for, because the more equipment you have, the more chances of failure, and that's going to happen too. But we'll stay for this morning on the medical problems. What about colds? Colds are not more common if you're on corticosteroids. Some people felt, and we were worried 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that if we're doing steroids and we're suppressing the boy's immune system, maybe colds, maybe infections are going to be more common. In fact, that's not the case. In fact, many times parents tell us the boys have fewer colds, and they get over them more quickly. And I think a lot of that has to do with their good breathing, and they're able to cough. The key to getting over cold is being able to clear secretions, and Jonathan Finder is going to again touch on that later this morning. It's important to realize that your breathing can be very good, but if you're coughing a lot and at night you're not getting a good night's sleep and you're coughing, you can get tired. And if you get tired, then you need some help, whether it be a cough assist machine, whether it be an ambu bag, but you have to get your rest. And if you are tired, then things can spiral into difficulty, and we try to avoid that. What about vomiting? What about stomach flu? Everyone gets a stomach flu. Children are vomiting all the time. We feel that if your son can't take the medicine by mouth, the steroids, the corticosteroids, we feel that if you can't do that for about 24 hours, you really need to go to an emergency room, and you need to explain to them that he is on steroids, and they need to substitute something that they can give intravenously until he can take his medicines by mouth. When you go to Emerge, most people have never heard of deflazacort, so you have to. And on this nice card that Parent Project has been strong in getting this into your wallets, it explains how to convert deflazacort to the regular dose of prednisone. So it helps them become familiar with it, and it helps them calculate the right dose of medicine that you're going to need. And they will, I promise you, they will check his liver function studies again. They're going to come back abnormal, and you got to be ready for that and say, you know, don't worry about that, just fix the vomiting. What about fractures? Fractures are common. Probably 25 to 35% of boys are going to have a fracture in their leg, usually the tibia, fibula, or the femur. And what we feel is that if we could avoid 6 weeks or 8 weeks of being in a plaster cast in bed and not being able to move, if we could avoid that cast, it might be an advantage in keeping the boys walking longer. So if your son is a good walker and if he breaks his leg, ask if there is an opportunity to put a little plate in there with some screws, and so we can get him up in a day or two. We can get him in a pool. We can get him doing physiotherapy, and we'll get him back on his feet sooner. So it's not possible for every opportunity and every fracture, but if it's not near a joint, like it's not near the knee or the ankle or the hip, it's in the middle of the bone, then oftentimes they can do it surgically. So that's an option for you to at least ask about. What about anesthetics? And this is something that comes up commonly in the dentist's office and commonly in emergency, you know, what anesthetics are safe. And there's lots in the literature about this. The bottom line is that if you use the intravenous method, not the inhaled method, use the intravenous method to put boys to sleep and to keep them asleep for operations or whatever you're doing, that is safe. I remind you also that in the dentist's office with nitrous oxide, that is safe as well. So that is a gas. It's safe, and it's okay in the dentist's office. But for surgery and things like that, the intravenous route should be used. Finally, what about appendicitis? Appendicitis, we were really worried about appendicitis because we thought if we were suppressing their immunity, there might be an appendicitis, it might burst, they might get an infection in their stomach lining, and we wouldn't know it because they wouldn't be able to tell us because of they wouldn't have the pain. Well, in our three cases, that has not been a problem. They have had a typical course for their appendicitis. They had pain, which you'd expect, and they had their surgery, and there was no complications with surgery. Everything healed well. They did get a stress dose of steroids, and we can talk more about that later, but just to say, when there is a serious infection, they may need some extra steroids until they get over their sickness. So appendicitis will happen, and it doesn't seem to be a problem in these boys. So you've heard the cardiologists in the panel before. You know, what's the bottom line? So I have to take you to the bottom line. So here's one bottom, and it's not going to be my bottom. This is the bigger bottom line. This is the kids, and this is your bottom line. This is the most important bottom line. And it really is talking about being prepared, because it is going to happen. Whether it's a seatbelt or whether it's a helmet, be prepared, because that's, I think, the key to having a healthy experience with an emergency. My health passport is one thing you can put. You can tailor it to you, your medicines, your contacts and everything. The Card by Parent Project is another thing, again, to remind you, to remind healthcare workers that you have certain needs and you need to have them listen to you. Get to know your local emergency. And this came up again in the cardiology. You know, a lot of people are very good in emergencies, but they don't know about the shin, and they don't know about your son, and they don't know about your son's equipment and things like that. So the best time, I believe, the best time to go see a doctor or an emergency is when you don't need them. So they can get to know you, you can get to know them, and then if it does happen or when it does happen, then it's not a big surprise and all this is not new to them, and you're going to have a much better outcome, I believe. The emergency drivers, they have their rules. And one rule is if the oxygen is low, slap on the oxygen mask. And you've got to be there to convince them that may not be a good thing. And again, Jonathan will tell you why oxygen is not always a good thing. So you have to be advocating for that. And the emergency drivers, you know, sometimes they have the rules and it's difficult to convince them to listen to you. And it also happens in the emergency where doctors and nurses, you know, they're busy, they don't understand the Duchenne, they don't understand the Duchenne heart and the Duchenne lungs, and they don't listen to you, and that's scary. So my take-home message is be prepared and do your homework. Thank you very much. I welcome questions probably in the hall after. I'll be in the other corner. No. We probably will ask questions later. And my email address is there. If you want to email me, I'd be happy to hear from you. Thank you very much.